This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Are you interested in being a part of one happy family? Jesus talks about that in the text today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you that you deal with us as individuals. But as we become your children by grace through faith in Christ, you put us into a family, the family known as a Christian church. Grant, O God, that we may understand what it is to truly be a part of a Christian family, living together day by day in our homes, caring for one another, rebuking one another, encouraging one another. Lord, speak to us through your word this day, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives within you and will be in you forever. I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
He lived and died.
Friends in Christ. When I was a lad, I had a good friend, and we spent a lot of time together. Occasionally, I would be at his home when it was dinner time for the family, and I would be invited to go into the next room and look at some magazine or something like that while they ate. But this family was so interesting to me that I usually situated myself where I could look in on that dining room. It was a huge table, for they had at least 7 children, maybe more. I can remember 7 of them. They sat in the same chair every single day. The father was at the head of the table. He was a man who had worked hard during the day in the factory and now had come home to a meal prepared by his wife. She, too, sat very near to the head of the family. And then the children were situated in chairs according to their age. The youngest one always ended up by the mother. Each of the children had their own special duties. Now, the interesting thing for me was that you could almost watch something drop and you could hear it. They didn't talk. And finally, one day I said to my friend, "How come you don't talk? Seems to me you could have such a good conversation there when you're with one another." And he said, "Father has a rule that is to be a place of quiet. And the only talking we should do was to relate to the meal. We would be permitted to say to Mother, 'It's a delicious meal.' We could ask to pass the potatoes if there were potatoes left. But otherwise than that, that was pretty much the extent of the conversation." Now, that was so queer for me because I came from a family with 3, my father, my mother, and myself. And I'm sure that we, with our jabbering around that table, made more noise than that family did with 8, 10, 12 there. Now, after the dinner was over, it was discipline time if discipline were needed. There might have been a lighter discipline if somebody had not obeyed at the table or had been a little bit noisy when that was not the place to be noisy. But if during the day one of the children had been disobedient to the mother and she reported it to her husband, then there was real discipline. I recall my good friend had been very disobedient that day. He had done something that his family had forbidden, and the mother had reported it. When the meal was over, the father said to the child, "Come on." And he had a little switch. And they went out on what today we would call probably a patio. And my friend had to take down his pants, and there, with the bare skin hanging out, the father gave him his switching. Oh, how my friend cried. And how angry I was. Today, I imagine that he could have been reported to the authorities and be dealt with. There was no sense in that. But it was just the way the family lived. Now, they were a very ordinary family. They were orderly. And their children were not in trouble with the law, you could be sure of that. And they were not in trouble at school either. They were a good family as far as grades and things like that were concerned. I often wondered as I grew up, how would you label that family? And I sometimes think the best way you could say it, well, it was a legalistic family. It certainly had some understanding of what was right and what was wrong. And Dad was probably the one who decided what was right and what was wrong. For as I recall, they did not go to church. They made no confession that I have ever heard of Jesus Christ as Savior. But they had their own moral ethic. And that's the way that they lived. I think sometimes that with a few adjustments, we have seen a kind of a Christianity that way. That's where I get that word legalism from. The legalistic family. Generally speaking, they are not the happy family. They are believers in Christ. But the emphasis is more on the law of God in their home than it is on the grace of God. They lived rather obediently, but the reason they did was they were being controlled by the law and not by the grace of God. It was the intellect that said, I've got to live this way, even though I don't like to live this way, rather than the heart that was saying, because I love my family so, and this is a way that they want me to live, that's the way I want to live. I don't like this legalism. I don't think it makes for a happy family. For where I have encountered this, I have seen that oftentimes they have been very judgmental of others. Judgmental not only because they have broken the law of God, which all of us have, but they were unforgiving. They were not going to forgive that other person unless it had been proven that he was very, very, very sorry for what he had done. But it was not only the law of God, it was some of their own laws that they had made. They tried to relate them to the Ten Commandments or whatever else it might be, but they could not really do it. A legalistic, law-type Christianity. Now, I am not antinomian, as they call it. I believe in the law of God. But I don't believe that the law of God can motivate people to do what God wants them to do and have them be happy people. In the Word of God today, we have the loving family described by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is recorded in this 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Now here you would say, in the words of the Apostle Paul, that it is not the law of God, but it is the love of God that controls me, that motivates me. People in this happy family, to a greater or a lesser degree, all know what it is to live in a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus begins this section of our text today by saying, you know, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Now, what is he saying? You'll obey what I command because you know that's the way that it's supposed to be, and even if you don't want to abide by it, you have to. If you want to call yourself one of mine, you have to. And no, this blessed Lord of ours says, you know, if you love me, you're going to want to obey what I command. And then he goes on and he says this, and I will ask the Father. Now notice, here you have God the Son asking God the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. That's the Holy Spirit. So here's the Father who sent the Son, who died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And now the Holy Spirit comes in a unique way to live in our hearts and to create within us a spirit that wants to live as God wants us to live. Not a cruel, hard deal, but a loving deal. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Now, what are these commandments? Well, we all know the Ten Commandments. And some people say, well, because we're Christians, we don't have to live according to those Ten Commandments anymore. We're not under the law. And that's right. But you remember what Jesus said? I came not to destroy the law. I didn't come to destroy those Ten Commandments. But I came to fulfill them. Of course, as Christians, we take the law of God very seriously. But the most important part is, it is our love for Jesus that causes us to say, that's why I want to live according to his commands. You can summarize the whole thing in what Jesus one day did summarize when somebody said, which is the greatest of the commandments? And he turned around and said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then you shall love the neighbor as yourself. And he went on, I think, if you read the Bible very carefully, to tell us what his will is. He told us, for example, as he was about to ascend into heaven, go and make disciples of all nations. Well, the Acts version of that, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We know how he wants us to live. We know how he wants us to give of ourselves. We talked about that a few Sundays ago on the radio here. He asks us to give out of love of our money and our time and our talent. It isn't something that, man, I must do it, and that's all there is to it. But rather it's the idea, when I see what he has done for me, that I want to do it for him. All of this is prompted by that counselor referred to in our text today. We have a counselor living inside of us who tells me how he wants me to live. But not only that, he empowers me, if I'll only let him, to live that way. The Holy Spirit. You see, in the liturgical calendar year, and I love that, and we talked about it last week a little bit, here we have some semblance of what is going on in the life of the Christian. We've celebrated Christmas, the coming of the Lord. We have just recently celebrated Easter, his blessed resurrection. And now we're celebrating Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, my friends, there would be no Christmas, there would be no Easter, if there were not a Pentecost. For it is the Holy Spirit who creates faith in our hearts. It is the Holy Spirit that brings us to a conviction of our sin. It is the Holy Spirit that, after we have received Jesus Christ in faith, which he has given to us, it's all from God to man, helps me to live according to God's will. We'll get more of the details on that when we celebrate Pentecost, God willing, on May 15th. He will send a counselor to you. Now, may I ask you this? When I know what God wants me to do, and I don't do it, where do I stand then? We live in a day where we say that there are no absolutes with a lot of people. In other words, there is no real understanding what's right and what's wrong. A person may go out and do something that, according to the Ten Commandments, is absolutely wrong. And these people will look at you and say, well, that's your version of what's right and wrong. And now you and I know, as Christians, what is right and what is wrong. No question about it, what is right and what is wrong. And when that Holy Spirit, who is living inside of me, says to me, when I'm actually in the act, that what you said is wrong, when you mutilated this person, when you really tore him down, when in the organization you belong to, there are things that are wrong, and you cover it over. How can that be? Well, in the first picture of the family, what it would take would be a good switching. No, God isn't going to do that. Not now, at least as I see it. But he will appeal to you. That when we know what is right or wrong and do not do what God wants us to do, then it is time to repent. But in a Christian family, rather than a switching, there is an extended arm that says, I don't condone what you did today, but I will forgive you. That's why I sent the Lord Jesus, and Jesus will say, that's why I died. Your sin is forgiven. That's living in the happy family. And then we can start all over again. When I know what's right and wrong, no matter what culture says to me, no matter what the cost might be regarding popularity or money or anything else, he lives within me. And then he closes this glorious portion of his word talking about the family. And he'll say, it's not easy to be that happy family in Christ Jesus today. Not easy at all. You'll often feel alone. But remember this. I will not leave you as orphans. That's what his word of God said. I want my laws kept, but I want them kept out of love. I want you to know what grace is that when you break them, I will forgive you. Then we are truly one happy family. Don't let the family of God be depicted by that family that I described to you at the beginning of this sermon. Let it be depicted as those mature or immature who trust in Jesus, and let him and his Holy Spirit bind us together. Amen. Father, we know that living on this earth can sometimes be very lonely. So we thank you that you have given to us the family, the blood family, that can sit around a table and love one another and laugh and joke and have a good time. Oh God, we also pray for an extended loving family found in the church. Grant, Lord, that when we are disobedient to your laws, that we may come drawn there by the Holy Spirit to repent of our sins and to put our faith in you, Lord Jesus. Then we will be truly one happy family, united in Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message has brought you perfect peace that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. We invite you to share Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor. By making more people aware of this ministry, we can share the word and spread the light of the gospel so no one walks in darkness. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. If you wish, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit listener support ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choosing and all others who have need to listen. We thank all who support us with their prayers and their gifts. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.